the morning. You hear the work bell ring. And I march you to the table. You see the same old thing.
Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, in for Mike. You can tweet us at TheBradBlog. That's our Twitter name. You can also chat with us. Come say hi to all the folks occupying our bradblog.com chat room right now, including the lovely Dez and the lovely Angel. Okay, going to go to Denise Lockwood here shortly. We covered last weekend at bradblog.com the kickoff of news from the kickoff of this Recall Scott Walker initiative that is now underway up in Wisconsin to recall the anti-union Republican governor up there. It is a tall order for the Democrats and the labor supporters who are trying to pull it off. They've got to collect more than 500,000 signatures over the next 60 days. That's something like 9,000 signatures a day they've got to gather up there in Wisconsin. So I think it won't be easy. On the other hand, in the first 48 hours, reportedly they collected some 50,000 signatures. So that's a good sign. But we'll see if they can keep it up. In the meantime, already we have reports. Politiscoop, I think, was the first one to come out with this, of the dirty tricks that are beginning, that the supporters of Scott Walker feel they can't win legitimately, apparently. So they're going to game the system in a most despicable way. And they're talking about it openly on Facebook. In one post, Will R. Jenkins at Facebook says, quote, "I'll be able to destroy 15,000 to 20,000 signatures." He might even, he says, if they go well, he might even, quote, "be able to destroy upwards of 15 to 20% of the entire collected ballots in the state of Wisconsin," Will R. Jenkins says. Don't know if he's real or not. But he writes, "I am canvassing an area that is very liberal. I will be taking all those petitions and shredding them once I am done. Kiss my effing ass. There won't be a damn thing you can do about it. Whine all you want. Bitch all you want. The petitions are going bye-bye. The best part is that I'm entrusted with the petitions of several other people. When the time comes to turn them in, I'm sure it will be obvious that I don't have them. For my estimations," he says, "I'll be able to destroy 15,000 to 20,000 signatures unless the guy above me gives me access to where he stores his own signatures so I can place mine in there. If this happens, I'll be able to destroy upwards of 15 to 20% of the entire collected ballots in the state of Wisconsin." That's just one guy. Matt Wins says, "Not bad, William. I won't be able to destroy nearly that much. I only have a few people gathering them in a mixed area." Whether they mean it or not, I don't know. But Denise Lockwood, reporter for the Caledonia, editor, I should say, for the Caledonia Patch, followed up that report, and I was working on something similar, talking to the Government Accountability Board up there in Wisconsin, to find out if the top election agency is actually reporting, referring this this stuff, and there's a lot of it at Facebook, referring it for investigation to the district attorney. And Reed Magny has replied to me that, well, they can't do an official referral yet. However, it seems some of the folks have been in touch with prosecutors. And as Denise Lockwood reported at the Caledonia Patch, the let's see here, Reed Magny told her that it is illegal to do this. That, he says, where's Magny here? If someone signed what they think is an illegitimate petition or one that was circulated by a person not on the up and up, that person can sign more than one petition. That's good. That's important. So you folks up there in Wisconsin, you can sign apparently as many as you'd like just to make sure. But Magny says that it would be fraud to either destroy these petitions or to not turn them in. once they have been signed. And that's what Denise Lockwood, her source, who she does not name, says that he was going to do. He was going to keep them, gather these signatures, but not turn them in, not destroy them, but just not turn them in, and that that would not be a crime. He told her, quote, it's not illegal to collect them and not turn them in. Well, the top election agency feels differently about that and says that, yes, that would be a felony crime with a maximum fine up to $10,000. And up to 3.5 years in jail. So the question, however, that occurs to me that I wanted to talk to Denise Lockwood about, well, let me welcome her to the show. There we go. Hey, Denise, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your reporting at caledonia.patch.com. It brought up an interesting point as I was reading about this. You have a source, Denise, who has told you that he had planned to, that he had already collected about 150 petitions, you've reported this in your story, and that he was planning to not turn them in, and that he knew of two other people who were planning to do the same, and that he's been on websites where, I guess, where he was informed that there are thousands of other people doing this. Do I have that story correct so far, Denise?
Pretty much. He actually didn't say there was an organized website, but he had known people who were frequenting specific Facebook pages that were talking about it, and that he said that there were about 1,000 people. He was told there were over 1,000 people.
1,000 people in this effort to game the recall, to not turn in petitions or to destroy signature petitions. Okay. Now, you chose not to. What he essentially said to you was a crime, as we've learned from your reporting with the Government Accountability Board, the GAB in Wisconsin. So he has essentially told you he was going to commit a crime and that he knew two other people who were planning to do the same thing, correct?
Well, initially he was under the impression that it wasn't a crime.
Okay.
So he was convinced that it was a kind of a snarky kind of a nasty thing to do, but it may not be nice, but it was certainly well within his legal rights to do, that he could collect these things and just hold on to them. He really was very passionate about that decision.
But now we know that it is a crime, at least according to the GAB's interpretation. And so he's had a change of heart. Is that correct?
I mean, it was really kind of an interesting process because as far as the source goes, I mean, this is a fellow that I've known for over a year. He's a person that's more of an acquaintance, and he's definitely a person that has a lot to say about unions and a lot to say about why Walker should be in keep his position and things along that line. So that's kind of where he was at when I first met him, and then, or not first met him, but when I was talking to him, and then I asked him, I said, so how are you dealing with this morally? What's in your head? And he said, you know, Denise, let me call you back. I'm going to do some soul searching on this. And then he eventually calls me back and says, you know, I talked to the other fellow that I did this with, and we decided that it wasn't the right thing to do, that even though we believe in what we believe, that maybe we should, he and this other fellow had decided that they were going to turn the papers in.
So they had a... Oh, did we lose you? Okay.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, you're still there. He claims that he has had a change of heart. Now, he had told you he had 150 signatures. Is the phone breaking up over there?
Nope.
Oh, I'm hearing something. Okay. He had told you he had gathered 150 signatures at a Walmart, and he actually named the at the Walmart and the Pick and Save on 27th Street in Franklin.
Right.
And here's my question, Denise Lockwood. I'm all about, as a journalist, keeping sources, respecting sources, keeping it private. But if he is talking about committing a crime, actively talking about committing a crime, knows about a conspiracy to commit a crime, you have not identified, you have not given out this person's name, don't you have a responsibility as a journalist if there's a crime in action? In other words, if he had told you, oh, I'm going to murder someone, wouldn't you have have a responsibility to go to the authorities and turn that person in?
Well, I think with the, it's certainly not a say on the same level, but I understand why what the concern is. And one of the things that I was really trying to sort out, and this is still definitely an ongoing storyline, so I think where we're kind of getting hung up a little bit is that I this has definitely been a process that I'm still very much involved with in speaking to him and continuing to monitor where he's at with this as far as the specific paperwork. And actually, prior to talking with you tonight, I've been talking to some of the people that I know that are actively collecting the paperwork and understanding a little bit more of how that process might work and trying to understand that maybe we can have some conversations with him about that.
Because, you know, it seems to me that even if he tells you he's not committing this crime, and I don't know the answer to this, that's why I'm asking you, Denise, yeah. And I, you know, we had a nice conversation earlier today about this. This is a real dilemma, and when I heard about this, I was actually doing an event this week. I was hosting a Greg Palast for an event out here, and he's also a reporter who you know, uses deep sources, and it's a confusing question about how to proceed. Actually, let me I got to get to a break here, Denise. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Because if he's in the process, this guy, if he's in the process of committing a crime, if he's written about it on Facebook, let's say, even if he's changed his mind, it seems like he has, at the very least, the responsibility to show you the petitions that he's gathered, and then so you can follow them through to make sure they are, in fact, turned in. So that's at a minimum. I really wonder whether authorities, you know, he's aware of a conspiracy to commit a felony here.
Yeah, and he talks. He and I spoke about that actually. And when we were having
hold the thought. Tell us what he said after this break. I got to get to this break right now, or I'll screw up again. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead.
He said I was his friend, which came as some surprise.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Speaking with Denise Lockwood of the Caledonia Patch. You can read her work at caledonia.patch.com from up there in Wisconsin. She, as I, have been covering these reports of folks tearing up or planning to tear up or burn or otherwise not turn in signatures in this recall Walker effort that is going on, where they've over the next 60 days got to collect some 500,000 petitions or more. And Denise has a source who she knows, who she feels confident that he was telling her the truth when he said he had planned to not turn in these signatures and that he knew others who were planning to do the same. She has not named this source. She promised him anonymity. And I'm wondering if he's in the middle of a crime, if she should reveal his name to the public or at least to the district attorney or investigators up there in Wisconsin. It's a journalistic dilemma for someone like me who protects sources. But this is a crime in action, even though he now says he's not going to do it. He's had a change of heart. But so, Denise, what did he tell you when you talked about this?
As far as the anonymity?
Well, no, as far as you had said that your more recent discussions, he had a change of heart, and is he willing to show you the petitions and to prove that he is no longer going to break the law here?
As far as the petitions, I'm still in the process of discussing that with him, as far as that goes. He also, when he had the change of heart, he said he wanted to help me understand kind of the dynamic of which this happened, and specifically the kind of the network of people and Facebook pages and things along that line. So we're still in the process of really trying to understand that.
Well, he needs to help law enforcement as well as you. I mean, if he wants to be a whistleblower, that's great. If he hasn't, you know, if he's had a change of heart, he hasn't committed a crime, he ought to be able to show you. These are the signatures, and watch, here I am turning him in, and here are my friends, and identify his friends who were talking about this as well. Would he be willing, I don't know if you told him you were going to be on the show tonight, but would he be willing to come on the air and talk about this plan? Obviously not tonight, but at some point next week, you suppose?
I have not asked him, actually, because I know that he's up north hunting, and I was actually putting together a couple of emails, but I sent him an email. He just hasn't responded to me yet.
Okay, because, you know, do you feel that you have a responsibility to either out him, identify who he is, or in lieu of that, make sure that he does turn in this information to turn in the petitions, but turn it into law enforcement?
I think there's a couple of things kind of going on here. I would not have found out about this story if I would not have promised him anonymity. It just wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And so that in itself was a piece that, as he was telling the story, he was saying that, you know, that there were 1,000 people. And I thought, you know, all right, so how do I find out more about what's going on so that I can start at least figuring out, helping to unravel this as far as a dynamic that's out there on Facebook? And I think it's also something that you have to really weigh in your mind, and it's certainly something that I had to grapple with as a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, I wouldn't have gotten the story if I wouldn't have promised anonymity.
Well, true, but he is privy, or claims to be privy, to a conspiracy of 1,000 people who are gaming an election against Scott Walker. Have the district attorney, any prosecutors, investigators contacted you, Denise Lockwood, to try to ask you for more information on this?
No.
That's troubling to me in and of itself. You know, as a journalist, you might have to say, look, I can't turn over this information. But I'm concerned that this is not being properly investigated. I've dealt with the GAB. I don't know if they do as thorough a job as they ought to. They're certainly up against it up there in Wisconsin. But I think they have a responsibility to pursue it. I think we all have a responsibility, frankly, to pursue it. So, Denise, we're going to talk, I suspect, as this moves forward. But thank you. Thanks for your good reporting on this. And please tell your source. And I, too, will respect the anonymity, because I don't need to know the person's name. But I'd love to bring him on the air next week and talk to him, you know, along with you, if you'd like to join us, Denise. Thanks. I do have to run to a break here. Check out Denise Lockwood's report on this over at caledonia.patch.com. Thanks a bunch, Denise.
Thank you.
All right. Huh. Interesting. Interesting dilemma. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your calls and much more in the next hour. 877-520-1150. Get in line.